Hallelujah. Can you all hear me? Amen. Amen. So we're now on the third message of living a fruit-bearing life. It's on page 39. Can we all read the title all together? Being pruned by the Father to live a fruit-bearing life. So we covered so far that the matter of fruit-bearing is not merely an activity, not something that we do, but this is our living. And we saw from the brother sharing yesterday that this is from the enjoying the riches of Christ's life. We need to have a supply in order to minister life to others, to flow out, to bear fruit. But today we'll cover another aspect of fruit bearing, being pruned. I don't know if you've heard this word, the matter of being pruned, but you see in the Gospel of John that we're likened to branches in the vine. And in the physical type, in botany and horticulture, there's something called pruning. So I looked it up and looked up online. And just a definition, pruning is the horticultural practice that alters the form and growth of a plant. Based on aesthetics and science, pruning can be considered preventative maintenance. Many problems may be prevented by pruning correctly during formative years for a tree or a shrub. Another place said, reasons to prune plants include deadwood removal, shaping by controlling or directing growth, improving or maintaining health, and harvesting and increasing the yield or quality of flowers and fruits. So this is just the physical type. This is what the gardeners do outside. This is what the landscapers do. But this is likened to us. We're branches in the vine. Amen. And just like the physical branches, we as the real living branches, we need to be pruned. So you just see that in the title, it's we're being pruned by the Father to live a fruit-bearing life. I would take it one step further by saying it's not merely just our living in bearing fruit or in preaching the gospel, but it's a matter of our person. Amen. I don't know if you've considered, sometimes you have a more mature saint, an older brother or sister, say certain words, and there's a lot of life. There's a lot of weight and gravity. And maybe you try to say the same exact words, you say it in the same way, but there's not as much life. I don't know if I've had this experience. You know, you wonder, why is that the case? But it's really the person. The Lord cares for our person more than what we do. He cares for who we are. And so, maybe we can read the first Roman numeral all together.
We need to deal with the Lord to be new, fresh, and tender branches.
I hope you would underline the phrase, deal with the Lord. I also feel it's so marvelous we've been having these four lines of different messages where the morning line is the purpose and practice of having a morning time with the Lord. The message, the line we just had was exercising the Spirit to enjoy the Lord. And our evening line is knowing, seeing, and gaining God in an age of godlessness. These four lines, along with living a fruit-bearing life, they go hand in hand together. We need to know our God. We need to spend time with Him, and we need to exercise our spirit.
Amen.
This is so that we can live a fruit-bearing life. So this first Roman numeral speaks that we need to deal with the Lord. Our dealing with the Lord is not to be introspective, just to look inward and see what's wrong with me. What do I need to change? But the purpose is that we would be new, fresh, and tender branches. How about brothers on A?
For a branch to bear fruit, it must be new, fresh, and tender. The way to be new, fresh, and tender is to be pruned.
Amen. Sisters on B?
We must follow the rules of the Lord to deal with Him. This is the meaning of being pruned.
So our dealing with the Lord is simply to go to Him. You know, many times we have our morning revival, and that's good to get the supply. But I feel like even there are times we can spend with the Lord in the afternoon. Even after we hear the speaking either from the Word or from the speaking brothers, we can bring these back to the Lord. There's been a lot of encouragement, whether the Lord is speaking to us, we bring these things back to Him. In a sense, we're not letting these things go. We're allowing the Lord, we're going to the Lord to deal with Him and allowing Him to deal with us. So that in a sense, pruning is there's a cutting away. There's a removal. There's a decrease of ourselves. We don't simply just need more knowledge, more techniques, more methods on how to gain people, how to bear fruit. There needs to actually be a decrease, a cutting away of our old self, our old natural man. And this makes us, what was the three words? New, fresh, and tender branches. You know, this morning we read the verse, our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day.
Amen.
Part of this being renewed day by day is going to the Lord to deal with Him, allowing Him to speak to us, allowing Him to shine on us. How about let's read these next subpoints, brothers on one and the sisters on two, and then all together on three.
Whether we are
altogether on three. So we see in these three points, in a sense, our being pruned makes us new, tender, and fresh. This is not based on kind of a physical age, how many years we've been a believer, but it's actually depending on how much we spend time with the Lord, how much we've had this thorough dealing with Him. And when we go to the Lord, you know, what do? You're just simply open to Him. I've had experiences where maybe you come with a certain agenda that you want dealt with, but the best way is we just present ourselves. We present our bodies a living sacrifice. Actually, how about, this is a memory verse for all who know it, 1 John 1:5. Then this... Amen. God is light. He is the one that shines on us. He's not just shining something. He Himself is the shining. And even in this verse, it's good, even in the outlines when you see, it's good to even pray these prayers. Lord, here I am. Come to enlighten me. Shine on me. You know, we'll cover more in terms of what we need to be dealt with. We'll have a some example will go further, but I think I want to mention that this is God as light, and this is God's light. You know, sometimes if we're introspective, we may have our own light. We may try to find faults and find things that we feel are wrong with. I have another verse, Psalm 36:9. The last part says, "In your light, we see light." So the main thing is when we come to the Lord, we need to find His light. And like the brothers shared previously, we're learning to fellowship and we're learning to practice. This is not something we get on the first try, but we're just spending time with Him, allowing Him to shine on us. We just simply open to Him. And so, in the third point, there are worldly things, fleshly things, natural desires, likes, attractions, and addictions. Those need to be pruned. Right? And I felt like this is not the main line, but I was getting into this, appreciating the Lord's blood. Every morning, we're washed in the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
His blood cleanses us from every sin.
Amen.
So surely the sinful, negative things, the fleshly things, if the Lord shines on us, we can simply confess, and we can simply apply the blood. When we confess, this removes the insulation. This, in a sense, is one layer of pruning. you just consider that God's light, sometimes we may confuse it with Satan's accusation. You know, as we get into these things of dealing with the Lord, I want to highlight that we're not ignorant of Satan's schemes. We're not here to just beat ourselves up, but we're here to let the Lord shine on us. And so there's at least two differences between God's light and Satan's accusations. One is that God's light supplies.
Amen.
You know, even though he may speak, he may correct and adjust, there is a supply in his shining. The second is God speaking is specific. Satan's accusation may be general and just may say, you're a terrible person. You did all these things wrong. But when we open to him, he shines on us and we can simply confess. We can simply agree with what he shined on and say, Lord, amen. These things need to be dealt with. These need to be cut off. Can we read the second room rule altogether?
We need to deal with all the hindrances to have the living of bearing fruit.
So now it gets finer on the talking about the matter of all the hindrances. Not merely just what's wrong, what's evil, but there are hindrances that prevent us from living, to having a living of bearing fruit. Maybe at this point, Lily could come up.
My name is Lily, and I'm a student at BU, and my experience is that this summer, the Lord exposed me, and I realized I had a dissatisfaction with where my Christian life was, and specifically with fruit bearing, with the outflow of life. And I didn't know what to do with this dissatisfaction, so I brought it to the Lord, and he exposed me. Your gospel preaching is short. You think that this is a work. And it was so true. I thought gospel preaching was a work. And I told the Lord, Lord, search me. Search my living. I want my gospel preaching to be my living and not something that I do. And I just left it at that because the Lord is faithful. And in the following weeks, he began to touch me with the way I would spend my time. I would have to take the bus half an hour to and from class, and habitually I pulled out my phone and began scrolling. And inside of me there was a voice, what about me? I said, amen, Lord. So I went away from that site, and I opened a life study, and I began to read. And then the Lord began to touch the way I would spend my time before going to bed. And he just began to touch so many things, little by little. But just as our brother was sharing, there's the supply. And I just appreciated that these were things that the Lord didn't let go before. I mean, the Lord let go before. It was fine before. But now, because I had come to the Lord and I had asked him to search me, now he was shining his light on me.
Amen.
And what can I do but say amen?
Amen.
And as the Lord was gaining the amens in me, he was also putting this friend on my heart. And I began to spend more time with her and just to get to know her. And she's 10 years older than me, but she was opening up all of her struggles with her family situation, everything. And I just came to the Lord and I asked, how can I supply her? It, like humanly, I'm not even there yet. But we were reading in John in our home meeting, and I was just appreciating life meets everyone's need,
yeah,
no matter what the need is. And so she opened up to me about her struggle with religion and religion's condemnation. And I told her the Lord Jesus that I know is not condemning. And I shared with her the story of the adulterous woman being dragged to the Lord's feet. And for the first time in a long time, I realized I was following the Lord's instant speaking, because there was the overflow of life. There wasn't a script or an agenda that I had, but I was just there to spend time with her. And the Lord knew what she needed, and I allowed him to flow through me.
Amen.
And at the end of my time in that class, we had one more conversation, and she asked me, Lily, do you know why you exist? And I said, yes, I know why I exist. And I said it with such conviction, and I realized that if the Lord hadn't pruned me, and if I hadn't given him the way to work in me, I could have also very easily said, yes, I know why I exist. But I couldn't have said that with the flow of life. I couldn't have said that knowing our Lord Jesus. And when I said that to her, she said, yeah, it seems like you do know. And I had tried preaching the gospel to her, but she wasn't ready to receive just yet. So I just said, amen, Lord, I'm here to present you to her. Amen. And we just talked about what do we do when we're empty? We don't numb it, but we look for what really satisfies us. Amen. And I'm just so thankful that if we come to the Lord and if we give him the freedom to do what he wants to do, he's faithful amen. To prune us.
Amen. Amen. If we come to the Lord, he's faithful to prune us.
Amen.
What we care for is a sweet flow of life.
Amen.
This is what we care for more than our own words, saying the right things. We care that in our contact with the ones the Lord placed around us, we would minister life.
Amen.
But for this life to be ministered, there are sometimes blockages that need to be removed.
Right.
Not merely sinful things, not even worldly things, but things that would hinder our living of bearing fruit. And two things that Lily had mentioned and I felt was very true both in my experience was even the matter of our time. What time? How do we spend our time, especially maybe if you're commuting or maybe if you just have downtime between classes? Even the matter of how we end the day. Many times I get caught just looking at my phone. And even just considering, you know, these things are needed. Another thing I wrote down was a matter of even considering the dress of our appearance. You know, all of these things, there's no set rules or standard. But what we care for is the flow of life,
amen.
For his presence and his shining.
Amen.
The examples given also maybe include shopping. I feel like today it's not only just for sisters, but also brothers. You know, this matter of shopping, not... You know, it can be a world to us. It can be an idol that becomes our substitute. You know, these are necessary things that we need to take care of, but they can become a hindrance. The point is we want to deal with the hindrances.
Amen.
Lord, we want you to be the preeminent one.
Amen.
With the matter of all these things, you just consider, we just care for what the Lord shines on. Can brothers read A?
We do not need to make up our mind to endeavor to bring someone to the Lord each year. Rather, we should all have a proper Christian life, a life with no distractions, frustrations, or addictions.
So having a proper Christian life, sometimes we may have a concept of being a certain type of person, having a certain attire, wearing a collared shirt and a tie. We're not here to become abnormal. We're not here to become, I don't know what, religious. We want to have a normal, proper appearance.
Amen.
Even everything we do would just be a normal human life, even with just the humanity of Jesus.
Amen.
So you consider these hindrances that we're talking about. The Lord shines on us. It's in the realm of light.
Amen.
It's not in the realm of right or wrong. But we care, if we care to have a life of bearing fruit, we need to deal with these hindrances.
Amen.
And we can, sisters, read B. So we see that in A and B, it doesn't work if we simply just think, okay, I'm going to change. Or we think, okay, I want to gain my friend this year. But we realize it's a matter of living a life. Who we are in our person matters a lot. Matters a lot to the Lord. And so you just consider this matter of being in the light, spending time with him. I feel like one point I wanted to add was, in our pursuit of the Lord, even as we're bringing these things to him, our pursuit should be positive.
Amen.
We pursue the Lord positively. We're not looking for dealings. We're not looking to be cut down. But as we spend time with the Lord and enjoy Him, He will prune us. There will be shinings, dealings on these hindrances. Can we read the last two, brothers on C and then sisters on D?
We do not wish to encourage, charge, or serve anyone to have a mere gospel preaching work. Instead, what we need in the Lord's recovery is for many dear saints who love the Lord and lead business with Him to constantly be one with Him.
Sisters on D? So what the Lord's recovery needs today is many dear saints who love the Lord.
Amen.
And mean business with Him, to be constantly one with Him. The verse here in John 15:5, the Lord is the vine, and He says, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Going back to the physical type of vines, actually any plant, you consider outside, they don't need to think, they don't need to will or choose to be the plant that they are. They just simply abide, receive the proper nutrients, and they just bear fruit, whether it's flowers or other fruit. You just realize all we need to do is we love the Lord, but we mean business with Him, and we endeavor to be constantly one with Him. If we just stay in this organic union, if we enjoy the Lord and stay in His presence, in a sense, this pruning will almost happen spontaneously. Amen. You know, if we don't allow the Lord to speak, we don't spend time with Him, there's no way for Him to deal with these things. But we don't need to directly go and try to fix ourselves, try to improve ourselves, try to make ourselves a better person, one who can gain your friends better. It doesn't work. And you just realize, indeed, we just go along with the Lord's exposing and enlightening. We just learn to say amen. That hymn 426, it says in the chorus, oh, may your living light, Lord, scatter all my night. This light is living. It's not an objective light that shines on you to say how terrible you are and smites you, but it's a living light that supplies. And make everything bright, Lord. For this I pray to Thee. So we see that our pruning, this is something that, in a sense, happens just in the same way of our prayer to fellowship and our prayer to be one with Him. This is our whole life. This is not something we learn in 1 week. This is not something we can ever graduate from. But for our entire life, the Lord is pruning us to live a fruit-bearing life. And I feel like this is so marvelous. In my experience, the Lord has not let me go. You know, just considering many times when I was a college student, after college, dealing with my person, the Lord in certain instances would just speak to me. Mark, you're not the right person in this thing. You should apologize. You know, we can receive fellowship from saints, but I feel like this portion is speaking about our going to the Lord to deal with Him. Allowing Him to speak to us personally and directly. Allowing Him to shepherd us intimately. And so, anyway, I want to end in this way. Just based on these two Roman numerals, actually I want to teach you a song. And it's actually, the tune is familiar. I didn't make up this song. I learned it when I was in the full-time training. But it actually comes from the words of the ministry book that this line is from. That's being sold upstairs at a discount. The normal way of fruit bearing and shepherding for the building up of the church. Okay, it's from chapter 4. You probably won't find the lyrics on hymnal.net. You probably won't hear it on SoundCloud, but I'll sing it and you can just repeat after me. Okay? Go to the Lord and tell Him.
Go to the Lord and tell Him.
Oh Lord, have mercy on me.
Oh Lord, have mercy on me.
Go to the Lord and confess.
Go to the Lord and confess.
Our fruitlessness to Him.
Our fruitlessness to Him.
He'll shine, will shine. Heavenly radiation,
heavenly radiation,
shining attracts the people,
shining attracts the people,
and makes us fruit-bearing ones,
and makes us fruit-bearing ones.
So I'll do one more time, and then there's a change based on pruning, okay? Go to the Lord and tell Him. Oh Lord, have mercy on me.
Oh Lord, have mercy on me.
Go to the Lord and confess.
Go to the Lord and confess.
Our fruitlessness to Him.
Our fruitlessness to Him.
He'll shine.
Will shine.
He'll shine. Heavenly radiation. This is the line now. Thank you that pruning helps us.
Thank you that pruning helps us.
To live a fruit-bearing life.
To live a fruit-bearing life.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Being pruned by the Father helps us live a fruit-bearing life.
Amen. Let's sing it again.
Go.
And tell Him, oh Lord, have mercy on me.
Shining attracts the people.
Amen.
It makes us fruit-bearing ones.
Amen.
So my name is Victor, and I'll be covering the last Roman numeral. So Roman numeral 3. Can we all read that together?
We need to deal with our natural disposition to become flexible in caring for people.
So here in this Roman numeral, we find out why we need our disposition dealt with. Our disposition, like what is our disposition? I think it's everything that we like, what we don't like, our preferences, our considerations. It's just, in a sense, who we are. But we need our natural disposition dealt with. Why? It says to become flexible and caring for people. And the emphasis here is to become flexible for what? To care for people.
Amen.
And we realize our God is a God of purpose, right?
Amen.
He has an economy.
Amen.
And His purpose has everything to do with people. And we should never forget this. God wants man. And so He wants to dispense Himself into man. He became a man Himself, right? And eventually, this is so that He could gain His corporate expression on the earth.
Amen.
And so this is where we see fruit bearing. How is He going to gain this corporate expression? In a sense, it's through each one of us. Are we shining? Are we attracting the people? So here we have this verse, 1 Corinthians 9:19 through 23. And this is about Paul. And let me just read this to you. This is Paul saying, "For though I am free from all, I have enslaved myself to all that I might gain the more. And to the Jews I became as a Jew in order that I might gain Jews. To those under law, as under law, though I myself am not under law, that I might gain those under law. And to those without law, as without law, though I am not without law to God, but within law to Christ,
Amen.
That I might gain those without law.
Amen.
To the weak, I became weak, that I might gain the weak.
Amen.
To all men, I have become all things, that I might by all means save some. And I do all things for the sake of the gospel, that I may become a fellow partaker of it. Just look at this testimony of Paul. To the Jew, he became a Jew. To those without law, without law. To the weak, he became the weak. He did all things that he can save the more. So here we see a pattern of our brother. It's someone who's very flexible, right? He's not just one way. And why? It's because he's for the sake of the gospel. He's flexible for the sake of gaining people. Okay, now let's come to A. Can we read this all together?
To there, we must all be tested by the church life, by fruit bearing, and by them feeding, because these are the three matters that kill our natural disposition. As persons who have been dealt with in our natural disposition, we will be flexible.
Yeah. So here we see three things, right? The church life, fruit bearing, and lamb feeding. And why is this a killing to our disposition? I think it has a lot to do with we're around other people. We're not caring just for ourselves. In ourselves, we might think, oh, I'm doing okay. You know, I'm fine. I'm pursuing the Lord. And then the Lord knows. He puts you with a certain brother. And then you're like, oh, Lord. I was fine before I met this brother. But now I'm with him. It's like a knife, just like poking at us, cutting us. It's a killing. But this is what? This is for our disposition to be dealt with. And what's the result of this? This is for us to be flexible. And you can think of a parent. Parents caring for their children. I mean, I don't have kids, but from what I can tell, it's not the child being flexible to the parents. It's the parents being flexible to the children. Not that we should spoil them, but if your child is young and he starts crying, you can't lecture him. You can't, I don't know, tell him, like, not now. You need to be flexible to take care of the young ones. And I think this is a very good principle. We need to be like a mother and a father, caring for our new ones. It's not them conforming to us so much, but we need to be flexible to take care of them. Okay, let's read B. So to bear fruit requires us to be flexible. And I really enjoyed this line in the ministry. It said, our being flexible gives the Lord a way to reach all his seekers. I was so impressed that it's our being flexible that gives the Lord a way. So no doubt the Lord wants to reach his seekers, right? But if we are not flexible, the Lord loses a way to reach his seekers. And I was just thinking of some examples of our flexibility. I said, you could be a really good brother. Someone who sits in the front row, prays every meeting, dresses, I don't know, like you're supposed to dress. But he is someone who is so unapproachable that he can't bear fruit. And it says we think that that's like the ideal, I don't know, that's what we're aspiring for. We want to be that really good. Not saying that we shouldn't be like that, but the difference is we need our disposition to be dealt with. Flexible to the point that the Lord will have a way to gain his seekers. That doesn't mean we should be very loose either and just do what everyone else does so that I'm like, I'm being flexible, I fit in. But it's not that, but it is for a way for the Lord to gain his seekers. Last night, I couldn't help thinking about Philon's testimony and the saints that took care of him. These saints, I mean, Philon, as you can tell from before, he was kind of crazy, right? He showed up, at 7 in the morning, right? He wants breakfast. I don't know, he wanted fellowship. And the saints, were they like, no? Like, I can't do that. They took care of him. Had him over at that time. Philon came to the prayer meeting after going to the gym. Where the saints like, okay, you can't come in. Go change before coming in. Realize the saints, they were flexible. And we're so thankful, right? That they were so flexible. So that now our brother is here with us, speaking the messages, testing us on our verses. Why? So that the Lord can have a way to reach his seekers. Let's read point C and 1. Yeah, that's it. That's good. So, Brother Lee gave this example in the book that Mark just mentioned. He said, considering his answering of correspondence. So I'm assuming at that time it was answering letters. Now it might be emails for us. But anyways, he says, I would often apologize for not answering people sooner, telling them that I had been too busy. However, something within condemned me, saying, it is not because you were too busy, it is because you did not have the desire. Everyone is busy. Even a sister with no husband, children, job, or school can stay busy every day. She can tell people that she does not have the time for this or that. This is absolutely due to our dispositional inflexibility. So we see that it's altogether a matter of our disposition, our desire. I feel like this applies very much to us in our college campuses. We have many assignments, many things. I serve at MIT. And I know that many of the students there are very driven, right? It's not I have free time. It's, I have some free time. Let me fill it in with another activity so that I can still compete with my peers. But we see that, oh, Lord, whether we have time depends on our desire. If our heart aligns with God's heart is to gain man, right? We need to also give our time for the Lord to gain his seekers. Right now I have a pop-up. Tim Wong will share.
Hello, everyone. I'm a rising senior at Boston University. And I guess I'm here because I made much more mistakes than all of y'all. And I know what it's like to be that unapproachable Pharisee-like student, and how the Lord has really dealt with that, and how I really learned the lessons of being with other students. And just two quick stories to illustrate my point. Freshman year, I brought this guy was to be my roommate next year. I brought him to a gospel meeting, and after the gospel meeting, he was really happy. And then he just suddenly opened up to me and told me, "Tim, there's this girl I really like." And I was just like, "What?" But then being that gung-ho church kid, you're just like, "Man, this is not for conversation. Don't talk about this. Forget about it." And then it was just like, okay, all right, we won't talk about it. But then and then the conversation turned pretty boring. Like, I don't even know what we were talking about after that. And then that's when I didn't realize anything. I thought, all right, that was normal. And then the next day I told my full-timer, yeah, it was good. He really enjoyed it. And then, like, he told me something really weird after. Like, he was talking about a girl, but I told him, don't waste his time. And then my full-timer told me, he was like, bro, why didn't you listen? I was like, wait, like, listen about the girl or, like, what? Like, what do you mean? And then he told me this one thing that really stuck with me ever since that day we fellowshipped about it, was that the topmost attribute of a Christian worker is that they would know how to listen to people. It was as written by Brother Watchman Nee in The Normal Christian Worker. Like, the first chapter is on just listening. And I realized at that point, I lost him because I didn't listen to him. So fast forward 2 years. This is at a recent Memorial Day conference. There's this one new one who wanted to go to the conference. It was super last minute. No one was ready to take care of him, and we just like, all right, we'll wing it, and if you have time, we can hang out. So one day he wanted to go into New York City. So we were in White Plains, so it took about an hour to get into the city. And then once we got into the city, I thought we'd just find like a coffee shop or something and just like talk about the Bible or review the message. And then he wanted to do other things. So I was just like, all right, fine. So he wanted to go to this really famous bakery that had cookies that looked like shot glasses, then you pour milk in or something like that. And I was like, are you serious? He's like, yeah, I really want to try it. I'm like, all right, fine, let's go. And then we had to walk a mile. We got there. It was really hot. We had to wait in line. I was just like, all right, fine. For every good thing, you have to wait in line. And then we got in. There's another line inside. And I was just like, what? Are you kidding me? And then, so it took like a good 2-3 hours for us to get it. And I was not impressed at all with the food. And I was just thinking like, man, why are we wasting our time doing this, man? But I didn't say that out loud. So I guess at that point, I realized like, if I said something, it would have been just an expression of my natural disposition. And man, I had to call on the Lord so many times during that 3 hours because I was just not having it. It was just, to me, it was a waste of time. But anyhow, after that, we started walking around the city. We had no agenda. We were just walking. And then he opened up something really, 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 how do you say, intimate or very personal about his life that I don't think anyone knows about. And then I realized, wow. Like, my 3 hours with him was not wasted. Amen. He actually felt very comfortable, and he could really open up all these different things to me that he probably wouldn't tell Andrew or someone else. Anyhow, Andrew Lamuda, because Andrew is a little older. But anyhow, so through that time, I really realized, like, maybe it was because I brought it to the Lord after this brother told me 2 years ago that I really needed to learn how to listen to people. Or it's just having the morning revivals, spending time with the saints, having normal life practices that the Lord afforded the Lord an opportunity to prune some things away. And as really touched with the verses that Victor read during the start of his message, Paul knew how to be weak with the weak. But that didn't make sense to me because Paul was like the man's man, you know. Like, he was so strong. He survived shipwrecking. He was beaten 39 times. He was everything. He was talking about buffeting your body. This guy knew what he was talking about. But when he came to the weak, he knew how to be weak. Like, how do you do that? Surely the Lord dealt with a lot of his natural disposition. I was just so impressed. Like, and I just desire, Lord, that you would deal much more with what I have within me. That I would afford all these seekers to be able to be with them and to learn how to be with them, that it says in the verse that I might by all means save some. Like, by all means. If we learn to be with all kinds of people and not express our natural desires or preference, surely there are some that we can save. I really appreciate it very much. This is our living, and we can really do nothing to prepare ourselves when we go meet people. But it's just that we have these healthy life practices that allow the Lord a way to flow through us. Amen. Spontaneously, there will be an overflow of life.
Amen. So let's go to point number 2.
If we wait until we have time to tell people to be saved,
This point was also very convicting. A lot of times we will put off things until later. We can say, like, this week I'm very busy. Let me see how next week will be. Next week comes, you know how it goes. It's even busier. The week after that, slowly you find out that you're almost never free. But you see that here, being busy is a matter of our disposition. If we are dealt with by the Lord, I believe we will make time. We will make time to be with people. We will make time for our friends. Maybe they come to us when it's sometimes very inconvenient, and you don't want them to come right now. But where is our heart? Is our heart the same as our Lord's heart? We're always going to be busy, and like the brothers were saying, this is the freest time we have. We're only going to get busier as life goes on. So that's no excuse. We need our disposition dealt with to make time. And I also feel like we should also make time to even go to the meetings, go to, I don't know, our gatherings on the campus. We're always busy, but how are we going to gain others if we're not supplied ourselves? I also feel like it's very important that we get with the other saints. We want to be, we need our disposition dealt with so we can be flexible for God to reach people. But at the same time, the attracting factor is still the Lord himself. Just having a flexible disposition is not going to gain our friends. Our flexible disposition opens up the way for the Lord to gain them. But we need the Lord. And I feel like our time is one thing that we all have that we can give to the Lord. And I have one more pop-up from Annie Wu. And I think she has an experience.
Hi, I'm Annie. I'm a rising sophomore at Tufts University. And so freshman year, I had so many things to do. And the way to organize my time, I started making a schedule using like a online calendar and like blocking out every minute, and I timed how long it took to walk to every class, like how long it would take me to eat all my meals, like maximize my time. But I mean, every day's not the same, and so sometimes my roommate or the people around me would want to talk, and in college you have lots of deep conversations about life and all this other stuff, and I'm like, I have all this other assignments to do, and during this time I had blocked out, like I have a problem set to do. I don't have time to really sit down and talk about you. Like, I've got assignments, my grades are important. But I've, during my time with the Lord though, I would always ask him, how do I bear fruit? How do I approach people? Like, can you give me opportunities? Like, can you just provide the way and just let me speak something? And I realized the problem wasn't that the Lord wasn't giving me any opportunities. He was giving me plenty when people were asking me questions. It was a matter of myself and how I don't take the time to talk to people, to really listen to them and to talk about my own experiences to them, or just like just sit down and like just answer their questions instead of thinking about the million other things I had on my schedule and like how it's not fitting in anymore. And so my roommate one time, she just asked me a simple question. It was during finals, and I was very stressed. And she was like, how do you de-stress? And I was like, I'm very stressed right now. So I talk about that. And I was like, Lord Jesus, why is she asking me this? Like, I have all this stuff to do. But then I was like, wait, no, this is an opportunity to say something. So we just kind of, I guess you call it fellowship. She's not a believer, but I just told her, like, I call on the name of the Lord, and He's everything that we need in the moment, and so He's our distress. And she was like, oh, can anyone do that? And I was like, yeah, you can do that too if you would like. And she's like, how do you do it? And I was like, you just say, oh, Lord Jesus. And so So that was just an experience. But I think, so during the during the whole year, the Lord had really had to work in me how to not abide by my own schedule, but by His schedule, because He's the sovereign one, and He has a plan, and my plan is nothing compared to His plan. And so we should just be flexible to listen to the Lord speaking. And yes, here's the Lord.
All right, that was really good, right? We see that the Lord gives us time. The Lord gives us opportunity. The Lord gives us people. That's right. But the question is, do we take these opportunities? Do we respond to the Lord? So my time is up, but maybe we just read the focus right now.
We need to allow the Father to prune us by spending time to deal with Him, asking Him to shine on us and clear away all the hindrances in our being so that we may bear fruit in a normal way.
Amen. So this is so good. We need to allow the Father to prune us. And throughout this message, we say we need to go to the Lord. It shows up a lot in this outline. Spending time to deal with Him. Amen. Spending time. Oh Lord, our time. Amen. Asking Him to shine on us. Amen. Clear away all the hindrances.
Amen.
For what? So that we may bear fruit.
Amen.
Deal with our disposition. Cause us to be more flexible.
Amen.
To respond to Him.
Amen.
So that we can bear fruit in a normal way.
Amen.
So, since we have some time, I think it'd be good for some to respond.